Okay. Hi, I am Jenny and I'm recovering from depression. And just before I start, I would like you to know my internet went down 2 hours ago. I couldn't phone anybody. I couldn't talk to anybody. And I thought, what do I do? Anyway, it came back on about an hour ago and I'm so happy. Anyway, yes, my name is Jenny, and I'm 81 years old. I started DA about 2 years ago, I think. I've been around 12-step programs for about 40 years, and sometimes I think I still know nothing, but I do. I grew up with a mom and dad, and there were five of us. I was the oldest. And they were very hard working. We lived in the country, kind of in between two villages. And my dad, I admired because he was a hard worker, but he was also an alcoholic. And when dad drank, I was happy because father was happy. When he was sober, he could be mean and he could be very angry. My mother qualified for Al-Anon, the program that is there for people who live with someone else's drinking. I got through grade school and I got through high school. I met my future husband in high school. And the girls that I chummed with, they met their husbands in high school. I think I was the only one who ended up with two husbands, but anyway. I didn't realize how much he drank until we lived together, we were married. And of course it was in my face for a long time. And going to a 12-step meeting, it helped me with my relationships and my job, but I was mean and I wasn't a very nice person around the drinking. And that is where is shame. And I've had to work through that. He died when he was 44 and I was 42. It was not a complete surprise because his heart was not very good. And with alcohol on top of it, this is why he died so early. Now, this is where my depression kind of burst forth. I always had low moods in before I was married. I didn't know what it was. I just thought I had a bad day. I can't see where depression was a problem, but I couldn't get through the grief period of depression, that stage. I couldn't get out of it. And to a point where I had to take a leave of absence from my job. And I asked my sister to take me to the hospital. So I was in the ward for, we call it 3G, it's for mental health people. And I got a lot of help there. And it took me a while. Well, the part I'm leaving out, I can say this because it's about 30 years or more. But I found out 2 years before he died, he was gay. And we went to a specialist, but he died before we could go through that. So I did not have the living skills to cope with the tiredness that I thought I was going to be the perfect wife who could live with a man who drank. And that tired me out. And knowing his heart wasn't too good, of course, I worried there. And then with this other that came up, I just couldn't cope. So that's why I was in the hospital. So I went back to work eventually, and the girls that I chummed with went to single dances. Today, that's called online dating. And so they said, come on, Jenny, you're going to go to these single dances. Now, that was the best time of my life. It was fantasy, and I'm all for fantasy. I absolutely loved getting my hair done, getting the Mary Kay, you know, and getting your nails done, buying maybe a new pair of shoes, et cetera, and there we were. I met my second husband there, and poor guy, but anyway, we dated for a while, and then we got married. And we had, for me, almost a perfect relationship. Everything that I wanted to be as a couple for the first 10, 12 years. But then his alcoholism came to play and I thought, oh gosh, not again. But it took me a while. I was so disappointed. It took me a while before I could be real. And it was too toxic for me. And I had been through my first husband's alcoholism. So I divorced him at 68. And he died a few years later in a nursing home. And it was alcoholic dementia. So at that point, I'm single again, and I owned a little house. I sold the house, and I came to an apartment building. It's only six floors. I know pretty well everybody, and I just love it here. We don't know each other's past history. We just know each other as seniors, because it's mostly a senior building. Now, I was accepted. They thought I was funny because some of the stupid things I did in the past, I stopped feeling embarrassed and they just became funny stories. And I think I kind of was a bit different from the rest of them. So my stories were somewhat, well, I'll put it this way. Someone said, Ginny, you're quiet today. I said, I haven't done anything stupid. I can't tell you a story today. But when I came up to the apartment, it was different. I could feel the depression, and every day it seemed to progress, and it progressed. And I couldn't figure it out because I've been going to a psychiatrist. I am on meds, and that's just fine with me. But one day, I figured out that it was sadness that was killing me. I had a mother who had a father who was my grandfather. I'm just going to say he was not a very nice man to my mother. And she had a lot of sadness. And I got sad because of her sadness and put my sadness on with her sadness. I just felt like I was dying because I couldn't seem to stop it. So there I stood in my apartment one day and I thought, I'm going to go to my laptop and I'm going to see how many different 12-step programs there are. Well, there you were, Depressed Anonymous, whoopee. So I had just learned how to Zoom. I could never figure out mute and unmute. And I'm so glad I did before I came here, because how many times do I use mute and unmute? So that was a gift. I got a meeting that had just started, and the introduction to DA talks about lessening sadness. I could not believe that they said that word. I actually, to lessen sadness. So that was it for me. I'm there I am. And okay. So recovering, that's what kind of brought me to DA. So recovering. I don't like to get into the two words recovering, because that could go on and on in a conversation, but I'm recovering. Okay. A few things about how it helped me. I think how I've been helped mostly are the shares, people sharing. I know what the steps are, and I know what the traditions are from another meeting. I can't say I've gone into the steps of DA, but I am so into listening to shares. And this is where I heard things that I used to hide. What I didn't say was, when I was married to my second husband, I had to quit my job and I worked with children, because my responsibilities as a teacher, I could see I couldn't do this, I couldn't do this. Finally, I came down to the most easy thing you can do as a teacher. And because of my depression, I couldn't do it. Makes me tearful. If I hadn't quit, I would have been fired, I'm sure. So what has helped me here? I guess in the year and a half, 2 years I've been here, I've heard different people who have said that they've had to leave their job. I never knew anybody who left their job or quit like me. I was there one Friday and gone on the Monday. Usually you retire from my job or you give several months, but no, that's what I did. And that's where I became more humble. I'll say why. Teachers didn't do those kinds of things. And so in the next 10 years, no, in the next 2 years, I was out with some girlfriends. I could be shopping or I could be in a restaurant and I might meet a staff member. And they all pointed at me. And they would whisper to each other and then they would point. I didn't catch on, but I guess what it was, you don't just quit. You don't just walk out and leave. So I guess that was a part of the conversation. And that happened. And I was surprised at the staff because they were teachers. They should understand that. So I'll just leave that. So I got over that. But my feelings for anyone with disabilities, I don't care what it is with a disability, it made me understand even more. Okay. Envy, since I've been here, so I'm now talking about the last six years. Since I've been here, envy or jealousy has risen. And I'm like 80, 81. And what it was, whenever I went to my sister, I have a young sister, she's very talented. She's a good cook, you name it, she can do it. I used to get not jealous, but I'd come home and I would cry because I couldn't talk about my experiences in a 12-step group. And she's talking about her gardening and her painting and she plays golf. And I'm sitting there going, well, I go to 3 or 4 12-step meetings a week. I don't really think they care. So I go quiet, but I come home and I would cry. Now, 2 weeks ago, I was there for dinner and similar kind of conversation. And I'd had a bad panic attack 2 weeks ago. I hadn't had one like that since I first started, and I was scared. I just could not move my arms. I couldn't move my legs. And it absolutely scared me. And I got tired of working a program to be happy. I've done this for 40 years to myself in this way. I said, I'm going to stop. I'm not going to help myself anymore. I wish I could think of a word to describe this, but I think in listening to DA over and over and over again, it brought up my spirit a bit and I didn't realize it. And I was not thinking of suicide, which I used to go to. That, you know, if I got stuck, I can take my life. What stopped me was I didn't know how to do it. And if I did, I would have failed at it because it takes me a long time to learn something. And knowing me, I would have failed at it and it would be worse. Anyway, I got an appointment with my doctor. The hospital is just across the road from me. So I went across and he was really good. And he said, you just had the worst kind of anxiety you could have. So I have felt somewhat better since then, but I couldn't get over that I was so serious about letting go. I wasn't afraid to let go, but then I started to think, what would my life be like if I do? Well, I don't want to be like that. So where am I going with that? So anyway, I'm at my sister's a week ago and I'm eating potato salad. She makes great potato salad. They're talking about whatever they talk about. And all I could think was, it was very quiet. I am so glad to be alive. I am so glad to be alive. Well, how do you tell that to 5 people who've never experienced that? So I just was so glad to be alive, having come from this particular episode. I wanted to be able to enjoy my sister's company and what she does, and I didn't want to enjoy it because I had to. I wanted to do it from my heart. And I can say I do that thanks to DA. They've calmed me down in that way. There are a lot of couples here. Now, they could be 70, 80, 90. And I started to envy their coupleship because they're still old enough to go out in the car, and they've got children, they've got grandchildren, they've got great grandchildren. I never had children, so I don't have those people. 5 minutes. Okay, thank
yes,
you.
5 minutes.
All right. So I guess what I'm saying is, I've got two things. I'll go from there. Because I envied this coupleship, I wanted to be a couple. I thought, I have gone over this so many times, Jenny. Why are you still doing this? Well, from the time I was a teenager, I would have a crush on the opposite sex. And I was like that in my 20s and 30s and 40s. These crushes would come from nowhere. And I was starting to get I said, I'm 81. What am I doing? So I got my sponsor and I said to her, we are going to do the 12 steps on crushing. So that was a first for her and a first for me. And I sat down, went through the 12 steps on this. It was somewhat embarrassing, right? Anyway, it did work. And we laughed at the end, and it took away. What it did was, going through that, it made me, Jenny, get out and get a more interesting life, because my life was quiet. And I made it that way. I probably made it too quiet. So I wanted drama. So when I thought of a romance, an extreme romance took me to places I didn't want to go, or if I wanted to go, it didn't work out. So it was extreme. And, but it made me enhance my life more, because I said, we got to get rid of this boredom, et cetera. So it paid off. In order to talk to you, there's a park across the road, and I went over to the park and I take some paper and I would jot down what I wanted to say to you. Now, as I said, the hospital is right there. Okay, so there are benches, and I'm at a bench. I got my books all out. There are all kinds of people around me at their bench. And I was talking to myself as to what I was going to say, because I have to do those things. Next thing I know, I've got people looking at me because I have a naturally loud voice. Holy crap. They think I'm insane. I'm talking to myself. Well, that's, I have been. So the next day when I went, I took my cell phone. I'm still practicing. I put my cell phone up to my mouth and pretended I was talking to the cell phone. So I do have a sense of humor. DA has calmed me down, and my sense of humor comes from my stupid things that I've done in the past. And I'm glad you stuck around, and I'm grateful that you're listening, and I'm grateful to Shauna for asking me, and I love DA, and thank you.